Blog Talk Radio.
Prepare yourself for a journey of discovery and the answers that you've been looking for with the Universal Learning Series, a set of principles for discovering your true self. Explore your past, your present, and your future. Read Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by author Sandy Andrew. Go to UniversalLearningSeries.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Sandy Andrew, your host of the Universal Learning Series radio show, Discovering the Spiritual and Scientific Universe. We are broadcasting live from the Kansas City area on this day, Sunday, August the 17th, 4 p.m., Central Standard Time, 2008. Please give us a call into the show at 646-200-3998 to ask our guest or myself questions. Our topic of the week is reaching through the veil to heal death, grief, and communicating with loved ones in spirit. Now, our guest this week is going to be Linda Drake. She's an author and a life path healer who uses her gift for channeling souls on the other side to help the bereaved here on earth find comfort and healing. In Linda's book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, she shares powerful, true stories that underscores vital lessons in accepting loss, coping with grief, understanding death, and reconnecting with life. Now, Linda's website is www.lindadrakebooks.com. That's all one word, Linda Drake, drakebooks.com. Let me spell that for you, LindaDrakeBooks. That's www.lindadrakebooks.com. Now let's see if we have Linda here on the line.
Sandy, I am with you.
Good afternoon, Linda. How are you?
I am doing great today, and it's such a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Well, thanks very much for joining us here. We're looking very much forward to discussing your book here and many of these true stories and other things that compelled you to put this nice work together for the benefit of the people. Linda, can you give us a brief description of yourself before we move forward? Little short bio. You're currently living in Texas, right?
Yes, I live in Austin, Texas, and I'm not here a lot of the time because I've been traveling all over the country for the past couple of years promoting my book and doing workshops and lectures. My journey began with Spirit about 10 years ago when Spirit very unexpectedly came into my life and totally changed it. I'm sure you can identify it with how Spirit can shake up our lives at times and take us in a totally direction that we're unprepared for. But I had been very, very ill. My physical body was very crippled up with fibromyalgia and lupus. And so the only answers I had was prayer. And so I spent a lot of my time in prayer. And be careful what you pray for, because I wasn't aware of what I was praying for. I just thought I was praying for a healing, but Spirit brought this beautiful, beautiful path to me and completely healed me, healed my physical body, created a miraculous healing, and we took off from there, because when they came to me, I began hearing a voice speak to me, and the voice kept saying, "Take our gift and we'll take your pain." And one day I was in such a state that I decided I was ready to negotiate.
Okay.
So that's where my journey began. And so they just came in, Spirit came in, and I say they because Spirit is, the way they introduced themselves to me is they told me that when I asked who Spirit was, they said Spirit is the consciousness of God. It is the masters that bring us the messages of God, and it is the angels that are the fingers of God that work within our lives. So when I am working with Spirit, I am working with all of this energy. And they came in to somebody that knew absolutely nothing about the spiritual world. I had no idea what a spiritual path was when they were talking to me about walking my spiritual path. And when they announced to me that I was to be a life path healer, that was even more confusing because I had no idea what they were talking about. But they said that they would teach me. So I said, okay, bring it on. Let's see where we're going. And they did. Spirit came into my life and worked with me every day, teaching me how to communicate with another individual's angels and spirit guides and their entire support system, because part of that support system also involves their loved ones in spirit. And so Spirit also had to teach me how to open the doorway to the other side and communicate with those in spirit. And so that's where my life began, and that's the work I have been doing for the last 10 years, working with Spirit. And they promised that they would line people up at my door if I would be open to channeling their work. And that's where we started, and this is where we're at now.
Very interesting. Linda, you described this once for us during the conversation already, but I would like to, for the benefit of the listener, can you explain the term spirit? Because I've read it on your website quite a bit, and in this conversation you've mentioned it 6 or 7 times. So for the benefit of everyone else, can you describe what is spirit? When you refer to spirit, what exactly are you referring to, please?
Well, there's actually two different references. The spirit that we work with is God, or goes by many, many different names, but it essentially is the divine source, the energy that works, that we are created from, and that is there to support us through all that we experience. And so that is, yes, it does involve, you know, the masters of all different religions, because God is not one religion. God is not a religion at all. God is the divine source that we are a part of. And so that part of spirit works with all of us all of the time, never abandoning us, always being there for us, through no matter what we're experiencing. And then there is the spirit of each one of us, our soul. And so that's what I'm referring to when I refer to those in spirit, those that do not have a physical body, those that have just the spirit body. And when we die, Spirit taught me so much about the soul's journey, because I didn't understand any of this. And I think you will understand this, knowing your story. But I was not prepared for any of this. I had never studied it. I had my strong religious background that I kept going back to and asking questions from. But Spirit had to totally teach me about a spiritual path, not a religious path, but a spiritual path, a path that involved the connection between my soul and God, or the divine source, as I call them. And so they are always with us. They are a part of us. And I also work with, I complain a lot to Spirit.
Okay.
I don't have these answers. I don't know this. What do I do with that? And so I'm always complaining to them or asking them questions about things. And so they sent me a teacher early on when I was doing most of my complaining. They sent me a teacher, and this teacher became, you know, they promised me a teacher. And so within just weeks, I began hearing another voice speak to me. And when I say I hear a voice, It's actually as if somebody is standing in the room talking to me. That's what
it sounds like to me. Is that clear for you? It's not feelings and images. It's actual. It's almost like a sound reverberation you can hear. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, okay. That's the way I get it. Because we're all used to hearing voices in our heads. That's our own spirit guides and angels talking to us.
Yeah.
But
okay.
What I hear is an actual, like it's a voice in the room with me. And they have to give it to me that way so that I would know the difference between my own guidance and their guidance.
And that's I would like to stop you there, Linda. That's a brilliant thing you've just said there, your own guidance and their guidance. And I'm going to write this down, and we're going to come back on that because that's an excellent part. So sorry to interrupt you there, but I just wanted to capitalize on that comment that people get mixed up on their own guidance and their guidance. But so sorry for interrupting you there excitedly.
That's fine. Okay, so you ready to go?
I think we kind of, I'm sorry, I kind of probably lost you there in your train of thought, but you were talking about the difference in their voice and how you can hear it clearly, and I was asking, is it almost like a voice? And you said, yes, it's so
yes,
I can know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It is. It's a voice. And haven't you ever been standing, you know, whether you're standing in the shower or just, you know, out for a walk where you're in a quiet space, and all of a sudden you hear something call your voice, call your name? That's kind of how it is. You turn around, you look to see who's called your name. And that's what it sounds like when Spirit's talking to me. I hear a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that they would bring me a teacher. And so when this new voice began talking to me, I wanted to know, well, who are you? You know, we like to name everything around us. But I want a name for this voice that was talking to me.
Uh-huh.
And the voice said, I am Abraham, and I am your teacher. And so I was excited about having a new teacher because I had a million questions. And so and some of your listeners may be familiar with the Abraham group or the group consciousness of Abraham. They contributed the messages in The Secret, the book.
Uh-huh.
And they also work with many people, but probably Esther Hicks is one of the most well-known channels for Abraham's work. So some of your listeners may be familiar with Abraham's work through that. Abraham's purpose is to bring humanity knowledge, wisdom, and healing, because we are at this phenomenal time in humanity's existence where our consciousness has been awakened, and we are thirsting for knowledge. We are wanting it. We're needing it. We're out searching for it. And Abraham brings it to us. Abraham's not the only group that brings it to us. There are many other groups out there that come from the light that are working with us, using us to channel. Like, I know, okay, I'm familiar with your messages and your books, and even the books that are to come, they've already spoken to me about. But these books are, and I'm sure you're aware of, that these books are actually channeled through you.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal messages that the universe had to bring forward that this message could be shared. And so that's how they do it. They do it through people like yourself, that is open to writing and giving a part of their life to spirit so that they can bring this to humanity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there's these messages out there that are so important that they cannot be ignored, because, as I said, this is just, again, the most, as Abraham describes it, the most phenomenal time that humanity has ever experienced. And we have chosen, our souls have chosen to be a part of this time. And so it's very, very important that, you know, as writers, we share these messages and open up our lives and our hearts and our consciousness to receive, so that everyone can have this knowledge, not just be limited to the messages and using the messages in our own lives, but for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I often tell people that the Universal Learning Series is is for the people, by the people, for the universe, by the universe. It's not me. It's not just, I mean, I put the pieces together here and I can, you know, major contribute to it, but it's like you say, it's we all receive messages and guidance from our own angels, guides, call it what you want, our own sense of intuition. And it's just as you have done on a very high level of just putting the channeling that energy and information for the benefit of others. And I think it's a great, great thing, Linda. And you kind of hit on there that the people who do this work, other people, yourself and I, that you have to be connected to spirit and willing to give a part of your life to spirit, God, Jesus, whatever. But you also have to be willing, I think, to give your life to the people and life forms on earth as well. I think a lot of people get into this sort of thing trying to make millions of dollars, and that's not the right way to go about it. If you're selling books or you're assisting people and you make a living out of it, so be it. But there's so many people who dive into these sort of things and try to do publicity work for other authors such as myself and try and make it into a money-making thing, and that's not what channeling spiritual energy and information for the people on earth is about. What would your comments on that be, Linda?
I definitely agree. My work is definitely, as an author, you know, it's not about the money you're going to make from this book. You know, the money helps cover your expenses to some extent, but you know, as God's messengers, we are devoting our life to just getting the message out there, just getting the message into these people's minds, their lives, their hearts, and so that they too can carry forward with their lives and touch other people's lives with the work that we have shared.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's definitely not about us. It's
about awareness, I think.
It
I keep
is.
On going back to that term, awareness. And it's not, I don't think we're telling people, and perhaps hopefully you can agree with me here, like even your books, you're not telling people, okay, this is how it is and this is how it's going to be for the rest of your life. You're at least giving them the information in the form of awareness and letting them decide which path they're going to take in life and use it hopefully to their benefit. Just about creating an awareness of information for the people so that they can perhaps use it at their own free will, their own choice.
Yes, because all of our work changed, you know, all the message that, you know, you're teaching people has changed since you first began.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have
absolutely
grown and expanded. And, you know, I always say, you know, our truth changes. You know, not everybody's going to agree with what I teach or, you know, the messages that come through, because some people aren't ready for it and some people are evolved beyond it. So, you know, I don't have any judgment of how other people see my work. You know, it's my job. It's my commitment to God to put this work out there for people.
Yeah.
No, to share the message.
Said. Absolutely. Linda, before we move on to discussing your book in a little bit more detail here, there's a couple of comments in the chat room I would like to bring to your attention. Getting back to hearing the Abraham group speaking to you, there's a comment saying, that is unusual for Linda to hear them so clearly. Is that something you get from people when you tell them how you communicate information from the other side and you tell them, I almost physically hear them voices? Do you sometimes get a reaction of, wow, that's a bit unusual? Does that happen to you?
I do, because most people don't allow themselves to hear voices. It took Spirit a time working with me, with my physical body and my physical hearing, to be able to fine tune it, because I could hear them talk, but it was with a lot of static. So it took them time working with me, developing that that tool for me. And they use me in many, many different ways. You know, whether it's communicating with spirits that have crossed over. Now, I hear them very differently. When I'm talking to a spirit that has crossed over, they use many different, I call it different types of media. Sometimes they're flashing pictures at me. Sometimes they're giving me their messages through thoughts. And sometimes I actually hear them talk. So I can't say that there's one particular way in which I hear it. I also pick up emotions, because even in spirit, they have emotions. When they're, even when they're in a spirit body, they still have emotions that they will share with me. And I have to be careful, because sometimes I have to block their emotions sometimes because it's so overwhelming. But, you know, and we all of us have gifts that we can develop in working with God and working, you know, with our own life purpose, because we all have, we have multiple purposes in our life. We have our human ego consciousness purpose, and that's wrapped around all of the issues we came into this lifetime to work on, and the relationships and the karma. And then we have a spiritual purpose. The spiritual purpose involves what gifts we chose to bring into this lifetime. We weren't just assigned gifts. We actually chose and made a commitment to experience. Well, we made a commitment before we realized what we were committing to, I think. But, you know, we agreed.
Well, Linda, you just described book one of the Universal Learning Series in 15 seconds.
Okay.
So that's great. So what you're really saying is my book can be condensed to half a page. Well, Linda, I just need to check something here. I think we may have a caller on the line, and my forgiveness, I think they've been on right since the start, but I got distracted listening to you there, and I have to look at four or five monitors here, screenshots. So let's see if this person here, they may want to ask a question or not, but let's just see.
Oh, great.
Good afternoon. This is Sandy Andrews. Is anyone there?
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
Welcome to the Universal Learning Series Show. Apologies, sir, for keeping you on the line for so long.
No, that's fine. I was listening. I was just listening and enjoying.
Okay, yeah. Apologies there. I suddenly realized, oh, my goodness, I think that person's still on the line. Let me see. So sorry for racking up your phone bill. Do you have a question for Linda you would like to ask?
I've sort of just been on spiritual development myself, and I was just wondering, was there anything that you received from spirit?
Okay. Your name? Can you give me your first name, please?
Yeah, it's Reginald.
Reginald, okay. Thank you for calling in. Let me just connect with Abraham for a moment and see. Abraham will connect with your guides. Okay. Your guides are very, very excited about what you are embracing at this time, your spiritual path that you're embracing, because they're saying it took us a while to get there. And they kept holding carrots out in front of you, you know, leading you in this direction, but your logical mind kept distracting you with all of your, of course, with your life challenges. But now they are very excited that you are on this path and you're embracing it. And you are going to see, by January, wow, okay, that's pretty soon. By January, you're going to see something major opening up for you. It's like something you've been working towards and working towards and couldn't quite get there. And by January, everything's going to open up for you. So so hang on. You've got some work to do between now and then, getting this. You're kind of like a sponge right now, they're saying. You're like a sponge because you're just, you know, everything you can read or see that you're directed towards. And your guides are presenting all of this to you, your teachers. They're presenting all of this for your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So hang on, because you've got some, and they're really going to, you're going to see, oh, wow, okay, you're just going to see like a clarity opening up, and because I see your head just opening up really big, like it's because your third eye is opening, so that you can see things in a very, very different way. You've got some relationship issues to work through, to kind of resolve, to get some of the negative energy out of you, connected to these relationships. But once you do that, you're going to see everything just flowing like a river forward for you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That was right on.
Thanks, Reginald. Have a nice day.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Okay, bye. Well, apologies again to Reginald there for keeping him on hold for a little while. But, well, thank you, Linda, for helping Reginald answering his question there.
I think that kind of him being on hold for a while, because Abraham typically takes a little bit longer to tap in, but I think that gave his guides time to prepare Abraham with the message for him. So that was perfect timing.
Well, actually, isn't that so true that when you look back and you analyze an event, I saw him when the show started. Well, I saw the number flash up. But then I was distracted and put on other things and then came back on to it. So perhaps, it, as you say, it all worked out for the best. Now, Linda, can we move on to discussing your book, Death, Grief, and Communicating, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal? How many pages is the book?
It's just about 160 pages, but it is packed. It is very, very powerful. The book, I can't take credit for it. The book was channeled through the Abraham Group and Spirit. It is based on the work that I've been doing with my clients, because I do this work full-time and have been for the last over 10 years now. But I saw such a need, because so many of my clients were coming to me and they were stuck. Their lives were stuck in grief, whether it was grief from the loss of a loved one to death, or a divorce, or the loss of a job, or, you know, even a beloved pet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize how our emotions can just start sabotaging our lives and cripple us. And so many of the clients that were coming to me for healing, whether it was emotional healing or guidance from Abraham, or even, you know, hands-on healing, you know, through Reiki, so much of this was surrounded by grief. And Abraham came in one day and said that I was trying to heal the world one person at a time, and I wasn't going to get to everyone. So they wanted to share their message in a book. And so I said, well, okay, well, go ahead. You go ahead and write your book. And they said, no, you're going to write the book, and you're going to get the book into these people's hands. But I said, well, I'm not a writer, and I don't have this knowledge. And they said, you have the knowledge because we are going to bring it through you. So I just sat down, and they wrote. And they wrote a beautiful, beautiful book that has just helped over 8,000 people that I know of, because that's the sale of my book. But helping people understand what the soul's journey looks like, what happens as we're approaching the doorway of death, what happens, and that helps not only the person going through the journey, but all the family that are connected to this experience. And so it talks about, you know, what the spirit, what the body, the physical body experiences. It talks about what happens when the spirit leaves the body, where does it go, what does its experience on the other side look like, what happens, how we're able to continue communicating with them. They address so many different aspects. I had a difficult time with this, but they also address the issue of suicide and, you know, what spirit's perspective of suicide is for the soul. And a lot of the messages that are in the book, there's also stories throughout the book that my clients have shared about the loss of their loved ones and the healing that they've gone through and their grief and their struggle. But also, because, again, I have the advantage of unique perspective of being able to communicate with spirits. So when I did lose, connect with somebody that had crossed over after a suicide, I got, you know, to hear their story and it wasn't just, you know, hearsay of we think this might happen or we think that might happen, but actually what they went through. And it was a beautiful, beautiful journey that they went through. You know, I certainly wouldn't recommend suicide to anybody, because you just have to come back and do it again. And it's a lot harder the next time. But there is no, I was very, very comforted to know that when somebody does choose a journey of suicide, that they are not punished. They do not go to hell.
No, I don't think that the legend
and was,
of hell and anything like that is true whatsoever.
Oh, no,
I really
it's not. I found out firsthand
garbage.
That it's not.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But no.
Linda, would you be able to describe, I'm sorry, would you be able to describe for the listener what happens to the spirit at the time of the body ceasing to function here on Earth?
Oh, I work with people all the time that are going through the dying process. And to me, it's just amazing at how this works because the spirit is so connected to this physical body, but it's only connected with a cord, an energetic cord, because I've been with people as they are preparing to cross.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched their spirit for days going in and out of the body. And, you know, if they're going through, you know, an illness, the spirit will come out of the body and observe the body as it's going through the dying process. It connects with its loved ones, whether the loved ones are there in the room or whether the loved ones are clear across the country. That spirit goes to those loved ones to say, have its goodbyes and to share its love with those loved ones as they're going through their grief of the loss. And so the spirit, once it dies, and to me, when I'm in the room watching it, the spirit appears kind of like a cloud or a puff of smoke up in some area in the room, because it will stay there and it will observe the physical body. The physical body has to go through the dying process, but there is no suffering of the spirit.
Yeah.
The spirit understands and it's eager to cross. The spirit has that awareness of what it's going to experience, because often the spirit will go back and forth. If it takes several days, weeks, the spirit will go back and forth to the other side. It will go and visit with its loved ones. It's preparing for that crossing so that when it does actually, when the physical body actually releases life and the spirit is then released to the other side, it, within moments, I've watched this occur multiple times now, because that's so much a part of my work, but multiple times where I've been in the room, I watch the spirit disappear after the body has taken its last breath. But within moments, the spirit is back in the room. But it has a physical form to it now. It has an image to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it crossed over. There's no time on the other side. So it crossed over. It did its initial transition work. And it has chosen to come. Now, it doesn't always have to come back in, but often I'll see it come back in to the room to be there, but it's in a form that appears. It's an energetic form. And so what it projects, it's not the image of the body, but it doesn't actually have that physical body anymore, but it projects an image. Now, the image may look much younger or healthier than the image than what the physical body looked like as it was going through the death. I mean, why would you want to hang on to that? You would want to be, you'd want to really look good if you're going to choose a spirit image.
So you're saying for the listener, Linda, that you can actually see these forms?
Yes. That's one of my gifts, is to be able to see the form. And that same form will come to its loved ones. And often, you know, I talk to people all the time. It goes, yes, I saw Dad appear, you know, just for a few minutes. Mm, or, you know,
right,
I saw him in the room. Or so
that is,
I think.
That's a common thing. I think more and more people are actually kind of coming out of the closet and revealing these. Well, I thought I saw such and such in front of my eyes one day, and they were gone. That was impossible because they passed away so many years ago.
Yes.
And people seeing their pets, and I had a family member of mine see a dog.
Uh-huh.
I didn't, but they did. She did. And it was her dog. And when she told me the story, it was no shock or surprise to me. It was just shrugging my shoulders and, okay. Well, I know, I inwardly sensed that to be true. And this is like 20 years ago when I was still a young boy. So that's definitely interesting. So you can actually see and hear. Now, do you think it's a case of, Linda, those spirits who want to be you to see them, who want to be seen by you? Is that what it is, or can you see all of them? I think it's more, may I ask, Is it for those spirits who want to be seen by you?
It's those that want to be seen, because there's spirits around us all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, I have to, you know, I always say, you know, I take off my psychic hat or my medium hat so that I don't see, because sometimes it's too much being able to see them everywhere. But because often, you know, when I'm out, if I don't have myself turned off as much as possible, you know, I have spirits coming to me all the time. Give this one, you know, give this person this message and this person that message. So I have to stay turned off as much as possible. But, yes, they come in the room, and they're wanting me to see them, and they're really wanting their loved ones to see them. But at that point when somebody has just lost a loved one, God actually protects us because he numbs us. You know, if you've lost somebody that's close to you, you feel that a numb feeling come over you.
Mm-hmm.
A numbness of mind and a numbness of body. And that's how God protects us from that intensity of pain that we experience when we lose someone or when somebody we love crosses over. And so so the spirit doesn't understand why its loved ones can't see it. It doesn't understand about that numbness. And it's just there to help them. Help them understand, I've not left you. I'm right here. I want to talk to you. I want to help you. I want to comfort you. I want to love you. So the spirit is very intent upon somebody seeing it and somebody acknowledging it. It just doesn't understand that at first.
Well, what you're saying just resonates inwardly true, and hopefully it will do for the listeners of the show. And a lot of the listeners to this show will be archived, will be downloaded and listened to at people's leisure, Linda, so hopefully that will be of enormous benefit to them. Now, we have another caller here. You just called in, so let's take this call, and hopefully we have a question here for Linda again. Good afternoon. This is Sandy Andrew from the Universal Learning Series.
Hi there. I'm C Girl from the chat room. My name is Lori. I've been in Florida. And
hi,
very
Lori.
Hi. It's very nice to talk with you both.
Okay.
And I've been listening to the show, and I'm really impressed with what everything Linda has said, because I agree with it. I've come across it in my own research and readings. And a lot of times I feel very connected to spirit myself. However, I don't hear them quite as clearly as she does. And I was wondering if she has anything that she can pick up for me that spirit would like to help to guide me through the rest of this difficult year that I've had.
Oh, they're saying you do have a year of challenges. Wow, what a cycle you're in.
Yes.
I just see abandonment all around you. In many, not just in one area of your life, they're saying multiple areas of your life, and there's a lot of grief going on right now. Again, grieving in many different areas. You have the wolf standing behind you. Wow, okay. Your totem animal is evidently the wolf, because they're saying you have... you have a strong wolf. The wolf is the spiritual teacher and healer. And
right.
It is with you just walking side by side, not just healing your physical body, but also the pain of your emotions, the pain of your loss.
Yes.
Just a second. They're talking again. You're a healer yourself.
Yes.
And
I'm working
so
on it.
Yes, they're acknowledging this, and they're saying you have an extremely important purpose ahead of you, important path. You've been called forward. They call you one of the chosen ones,
right.
And you've known this for a long period of time, but your life just was, you were not able to serve that purpose.
Right, and I don't know exactly where I'm meant to go, whether it's in mediumship or which direction would be best for me, and how to get out of this cycle and start new and fresh, if things will, you know, pick up financially and things will get better. It's just been a rough year. I'm struggling through.
They're saying the cycle is almost over for you
yes.
by the closure of the year, by the closure of
yes.
this year. So that means by, you know, December.
Right.
This you'll be complete with your cycle of loss.
Good.
And abandonment. And because, again, they're saying it's hit every area of your life. And so they're just saying you have been taught in this year a tremendous amount of compassion, compassion that you will be using in the lives of others. And it was necessary for you to experience this, evolve past it, so that these things could be, so that you could be released from this.
Right, because I've gone through it in 2005, and that was just as awful. And then the next 2 years were fine. Last year was wonderful, and this year has been nothing but a struggle.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that the direction will change for the better.
Yes, they're saying it's almost behind you, so please be patient. Hold firm to your faith and your trust that that you are not alone, and you will come through this.
Good.
They're also saying next year is going to be very, very powerful for you. Again, you've been called forward. Your work is as a medium.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Yes.
Yes, your work is as a medium, and there will be there's going to be people lined up for you, needing your work. Because they need to have answers. They need to know that their loved ones have not left them, and there's not enough of me to go around.
Right.
So
right.
They're going to need you.
What's your suggestion where to start to actually train myself?
They're saying it's not that you need to go somewhere to be trained.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are many different, you know, schools of mediumship out there, but that's not necessary for you. They ask that you work with them, that you allow your spirit to, your spirit goes out of body at night to do this training, but you're not giving them meditation time.
That's true. I've heard
that
more than once, yes.
Okay.
I've been told that 3 times already.
Okay, so three times, we got it.
It's hard to quiet my mind.
Yes. And I had to learn to do that through a guided meditation CD.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
That would be very powerful for you. Also, they said if you would just sit down and put earplugs in
mm-hmm.
And close your eyes and open up to them. Okay, they said open up to them taking your spirit out of your body to do the training. It will be provided for you.
Wonderful. Yeah. Because I did do a reading one time for a friend just tried it, and you know, she was having a few drinks, and I was too, so we were loosened up, and she started talking about someone she lost, and I just started giving her details like I knew about it. I said, why was he jumped, and the 3 men that did it, and I was just saying it like I knew it, and she validated everything I said. And then when I went home, the name had come up 3 more times that night, and it was not a normal name. So I knew that reading was right on. It was the first time I had tried it. So I kind of feel it. I can do it.
Yes, you can. It's just
fine-tuning
so that you can do it when Spirit calls you to do it.
Right. And will I be able to bring in my own loved ones?
They're saying yes, and your loved ones are quite anxious to be there for you to, again, resume the communication with you. So they're saying yes.
Okay, good, because I put their pictures up with candles in front of them, especially on a rainy day, to get them to come in.
Especially
I appreciate all them.
If you're in a time period when there's a lot of lightning and energy.
I'm in Florida, so
Okay. Yep. Well, that's a great time to do it because of that high energy.
Wonderful. Well, we have a hurricane hitting straight for us by Tuesday, so I'll have all the candles out and be ready. Yeah, it's heading our way, so we're getting ready. Okay. Well, thanks for your time. I enjoy listening
to
the show.
Thank you so much for calling
in. Thanks, Laurie.
Sure.
Bye.
Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. That was very interesting, Linda, what Laurie was saying about how she finds it difficult to meditate, or at least did. In terms of concentrating. And you mentioned a guided meditation CD, is that correct?
Yes, that's what helped me because I just could not turn off my mind. It would just chatter and I'd get discouraged, so that was very powerful for me.
I think meditation in life is a very, very good thing, and it's almost necessary, I think, because it just brings out the beauty of your own inner energy and your own spirit, soul, higher mind, call it what you may, to the forefront of your life. And I certainly find that I am able to access my own inner voice and intuition. Hear how we're coming back to that comment that I excitedly interrupted you earlier on in the program, to differentiate between my own inner voice, Linda, and the outer voice of spirit guides. And meditating, I think, is really key to that for me, and I would encourage other people to do as much as possible. But like Laurie and like yourself, we kind of struggle getting off the mark with it, because we just can't seem to quiet our mind down, and we have all our tasks and chores that kind of running through our head and what we're going to do. And really, the thing is, Linda, that doesn't change. Just because you've been doing it for a couple of years doesn't mean it goes away. But one of the guided meditation CDs I have is based on the Buddhist practice, and it's so simple, Linda. It's focusing on your breathing, and they acknowledge when thoughts come to mind, just gently and kindly just focus your awareness gradually back on your body. And it's absolutely fantastic. The gentleman's name is Bodhipaska, and he's involved in the Western Buddhist Society. Just absolutely fantastic. He's got a few CDs as well, and that's not the only one to listen to as well. But for those people out there who kind of hit and miss with meditation, it's okay even to hit and miss as well, because any time you attempt to do meditation, I think it's a good thing, and it's a peaceful thing, it's a spiritual thing. And meditation along with prayer is a very good way of connecting with the source. And that source, whether it be God, the Creator, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, whatever, call it what you want. So would you think that's a good way for people to go, Linda, guided meditation CDs?
It's excellent. It's excellent because, you know, sometimes we have to give our logical side of our brain something to focus on so mm-hmm. that our emotional side or our spiritual side can receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's any type of something that will calm you down.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I've done it before where I listened to one that focused on my breath, and it's very, very powerful. I mean, much as we charge our body up with stress all day long, we have to have some time to calm and to bring ourselves back down and reconnect ourself to source.
And you know, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, scientifically, they don't have clear and precise data for the benefits of meditation and what causes this, how does it do it, and what are the end results. It's really a kind of objective viewpoint, rather subjective, but the fact of the matter is, the proof's in the pudding. It really does make a benefit in people's lives. And I often find that people will tend to focus on more on the spiritual task that they came here to Earth to learn and to do, and also their physical lessons as well. Everything seems to slot into place a little bit more easier when you practice meditation. Would you agree with that, Linda?
Of course, because when you're practicing meditation, you are opening up to your support group, your support
mm-hmm.
group of angels and spirit guides
mm-hmm.
and God and your loved ones in spirit, but you're opening up to sharing time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
whether you start out your meditation with prayer, I always start mine in prayer,
mm-hmm.
so whether you start out your meditation in prayer, it brings a calmness to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're talking to God.
Yeah,
or whatever
what
you
more do you want?
Yeah, or what,
what more do you want? you know, it's free. If you're not doing anything illegal, you don't need any drugs or energy drinks to feel like this, and you don't have to worry about the New York Stock Exchange because it's all free and it's all yours and you can do it anytime you want. So, and for those people who, like we say, we don't want to kind of label it as struggling to get off the mark. You know, 1 minute of close your eyes and breathing exercise will do wonders for you. And before you know it, you'll be taking great strides in meditation. And it's not something you have to do. It's not a religious exercise or anything like that that you have to do every morning and then at every 5 o'clock. It's not like that. It's an absolute fantastic way of connecting with your own energy field and the energy field of the universe. Now, Linda, in your book and throughout the conversation, you mentioned the word channeling quite a lot. Can you explain the word channeling for the listener, please?
Well, the simplest way I can explain it is channeling is being God's faucet.
Mm-hmm.
I just sometimes it's allowing something to flow through me, whether I'm allowing your spirit guides and angels to flow their message through me, or whether I'm allowing your loved one to share a message through me, or whether I'm channeling energy. For instance, I'm a Reiki master, so I channel energy through me from God, from the universe, however you choose to see it. But I'm channeling this message this energy that flows right through me and flows out my hands. Now, there's many, many different forms of energy work, but all of it is allowing your physical body to channel through you, to flow through you. And we all channel, and we don't even realize we're doing it. Haven't you ever been talking to a friend, and all of a sudden this message just comes out of your mouth, and you don't know where it came from or why you had to say it, but it just came. And that was, maybe that was their spirit guides needing to give them that message, or a loved one needing to give that message. You know, they use you however they can to give messages to people, just as people give messages to you. And for you, like your book, it's just a knowingness that you had in each one of your books, a knowingness that just came through you.
Yeah.
The hardest part is getting out of the way.
Yeah. we are here with Linda Drake today discussing her book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. Now, one question I wanted to ask you earlier on, Linda, when you were mentioning Abraham, are you referring to a group of guides called Abraham, or are you referring to a guide, specific guide named Abraham?
No, Abraham is a group, and I didn't realize it because for 5 years, Abraham talked to me, and I always heard one voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he answered all of my questions, no matter how, silly or stupid they may have sounded at the time. He would answer them very patiently, and I did not realize that Abraham was more than one being until we sat down to write. And when I sat down at the table and prepared myself with the computer in front of me, okay, I'm ready, let's go, and all of a sudden 16 energy beings showed up at the table with me. And I went, oh, wait a minute, who are you? I thought I was going to write with Abraham. And here everybody showed up. And so I said, well, who are you? And they said, we're Abraham. And I said, well, which one of you is Abraham? And they said, we're all Abraham. Abraham is a group consciousness. Well, that's the first time they'd ever told me that, but they said
you never 5 years later.
Yeah. They said, well, you never asked if there was more than one of us. And I thought, well, no,
okay.
I didn't.
it really is amazing, Linda, how you can hear them voices clearly as if it's almost another sound reverberation in a room. I don't think you're the only one. This is not the first I've heard this. But for the most folks who or are open to receiving messages, a lot of it is thoughts, feeling, and also voices that you hear within your mind, but not specific voices outside your eardrums.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's certainly an amazing gift that you have. And not only that, also to see certain spirits who chose to be seen by you almost at ease is another remarkable gift. And,
well, you have to understand, I was a skeptic, and mm-hmm. they had to prove, I'd hear something, and I'd go, well, prove that. Yeah, I'm not going to believe that. So I was a real skeptic. So they spent months and months, teaching me and proving things to me. And, they'd tell me something, and then they'd say, okay, go pick this book up. It's on page so-and-so. And so I'd go buy the book and open it up to page so-and-so, and, oh, there it is. Okay, well, now prove this. So, That's how they had to learn to teach me to do it, is by being visual and hearing them. And we're all different on how we learn to heal, to hear.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we all have to realize that we're all different. We're all different spirits, but we're all from the same source, and we've come here to Earth to learn different things and to do different things and to like and dislike certain things. We don't necessarily have to all like the same thing. Linda, we have about 5 minutes left. Is there any one topic you would like to bring to the light here before I ask my next question?
The most important thing that I
I'm sure your guides will guide you along the way.
Yes, Abraham, he's been trying to stick this in, is letting people know that their life is their responsibility. You know, what you choose to experience in this lifetime, you have to create, because you are co-creators with God. And so if you want a life of struggle, you create a life of struggle. Now, we have to have some struggle in our life, because that's where our lessons come from. But
mm-hmm.
if you sink down and just mire yourself in the mud of struggle and don't ever make any effort to pull yourself out, then that's where you're going to live. And so you have to understand, you have to take responsibility for what you are creating, because, you know, the perspective that you hold of your life determines a lot of what it's going to look like.
And you hear that all the time with the law of attraction. Your thoughts create your energy field, and that'll attract either positive or negative energy. And it's so true, and it's another one of them amazing things, Linda, that the proof's in the pudding, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We see it in our lives every day. If we see ourselves as the victim, you know, we stay a victim. But if we set the intent to create a different perspective of our life, then that's what we start drawing to us.
Yeah, the learning experience.
You know, if you want to throw a pity party, you know, you're going to have a lot of people that join you, and then you have a whole house full of people that are victims.
That's right.
And they're all throwing a pity party.
Yeah, that's right. Reap what you sow, the universal law of karma.
Yep.
And reap what you sow. We are here with Linda Drake discussing her book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. We are now coming to the end of the interview here with Linda, which we could have discussed for 15 hours straight on this topic without running out of things to talk about here. Linda's website is www.lindadrakesbooks.com. Please visit Linda's website. It's very interesting. You can also purchase the book through Linda's website, and alternatively on Amazon.com. That is correct, Linda, yes?
Yes, it is. It's available in most all bookstores.
Okay. Because I did link your Amazon title to something on the newsletter and on my website here. So I'd like to thank you very much, Linda, for coming on today and giving us a little insight into your book, but mainly talking about spirit.
Well,
and
thank you,
I just
it's
wanted
been
to
such a pleasure.
I just wanted to let the conversation flow, and because that's the best way to do these types of interviews. And I had a few questions written down I wanted to talk to you about, but these things are better for the people, just to let the interviewee just speak and let all the energy and information flow. Now, when is your next event, Linda? For people,
my
to
next
meet you?
Event. Is in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, which is just outside of Philadelphia, and I am at the Mind, Body, Spirit Expo. So I'm doing a big workshop there, and I'm doing readings and a free lecture. So hopefully somebody in that area will join, some of your listeners in that area will join me. And I have a new book out that's just available on my website, The Secret Pathway to Healing. And it's about taking control of your life and creating the life that you desire.
I'm looking at that book right now, and I like the book image. It's very nice, the trees, the path, and how the path is slightly sloping downwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you did that intentionally, but you can either shoot straight on the path or slide downwards and get lost in the trees, or race on through. But I was wondering about that. I was wondering about that book. It's a very, it's almost a hypnotic image you have there, Linda, on that soul.
Thank you. I sent my husband out and said, I need a picture. You and Spirit go out and find me the picture of the perfect path. And a couple of hours later, he was back.
Yeah? Yeah, well, that's a great image. Well, Linda, thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you very much for sharing all this great information for the people, and hopefully they will use it for their awareness and their own betterment of their own lives.
Well, thank you.
Well, that was Linda Drake with us today. Fantastic interview, and we'll be back next week on the Universal Learning Series radio show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. For all of you, have a great day and peace be with you.